Hello and welcome to the Parish Podcast. The sermon you're about to hear was delivered at the parish in Alpharetta, Georgia, and is meant to be heard within the context of our local church community. So if you've never been to the parish, you're missing a really big piece of the puzzle. We'd love to welcome you to join us anytime, and you can find more information or contact us by visiting our website at parishanglican.org.
It's a really important day, and I think one thing that was interesting about the way that we just worshiped together was we began with the story of the triumphal entry, and all of the pomp and circumstance and the amazing shouts of Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then we sang two songs in that same spirit and just read a passage of scripture where Jesus is hanging on the cross. And the difference between those two things is pretty stunning. And the fact that they're happening so close together is not by accident, because that's what we do today. Today, we have to hold both of these things in tension. Moving from one to the next will give you a bit of like theological whiplash. It will make you say, wait a minute, how did we get from this moment that's so joyous, so triumphant, so filled with the signs and symbols of regalia of what it would look like to be a king, to all of a sudden someone who is desperate and alone on the cross? I don't know if you heard this as we read it, but I love the phrase that someone is shouting out about Jesus. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. How desperate is that? Let God rescue him if he even wants him anymore. So within just a few minutes, within about 10 minutes, we go from the triumphant king to somebody who we're not even sure if God wants him anymore. He's just discarded and left to die on the cross. And it begs the question, which Jesus is the real Jesus? Which one is the truth? Will the real Jesus stand up, please? Which one is the one that we're called to preach today? Which one is the one that we're called to study and to meditate on today? Is it going to be the triumphant ruler, or is it going to be the suffering servant? And more importantly than just what we talk about, more importantly than what we listen to today, which Jesus are we going to follow? Which Jesus are our lives supposed to imitate and mimic and follow behind step by step? The triumphal entry, that passage that we read at the beginning of our service, that's a picture of a proper king in my mind. That's someone who behaves according to our expectations. That when we celebrate and we sing our blessings and our songs of joy, that Jesus rides along with us and says, yes, thank you. Yes, I will receive that praise. And in doing so, Jesus kind of affirms our thoughts and our feelings about the world. When we worship Jesus as the triumphal entry king, then we kind of have this little tinge in the back of our minds of saying, look, we're connected with him. We're good. We're with the good guys. Everybody else is going to get what's coming to them eventually, but not us, because we're with him. And it's encouraging for us. It's heartening for us. And then when we take the turn to the cross, it's equally as stupefying. I'm struck in this passage, and this week as I studied it, I was struck as I read it over and over by Jesus's silence. He says so little through this process of his arrest and his trial and his crucifixion. In fact, we've been studying for the last few months the Gospel of Matthew. If you were with us when we studied the Sermon on the Mount, we spent 6 weeks diving into this incredible, rich teaching of Jesus all through the Gospel of Matthew. There are these amazing sermons where out of Jesus' mouth comes incredible, life-changing, reality-shattering truth. And that same gospel, these last few chapters, Jesus says almost nothing. This is your moment, Jesus. This is your moment to stand up and say something. We know you can. We know that with a word or a thought or a phrase, you can lay everybody to waste. But he doesn't. And then even when he does speak up in this passage, he says, Ella, Ella, lama sabachthani, which is a reference to a psalm. But as he says this, my God, why are you forsaking me? Even the people around the cross misunderstand him. And they think he's calling out to Elijah. They think he's saying, Elijah, Elijah. And so even the words that Jesus is uttering with his very last breaths are completely misunderstood. And he's alone and abandoned. So which Jesus are we going to follow? The Jesus of comfort or the Jesus of crucifixion? The Jesus that we want, especially as Americans, the Jesus that we want to build our life upon? or the Jesus who calls us to sacrifice from the cross. Today, as we celebrate baptism, it's the perfect time for us to look at this contrast and to look at it with eyes that are clear and open. Because baptism is the entry point. Baptism is the marker moment of union with Christ and participation in his church. And baptism, just this symbol sacrament, this sign alone, helps us remember the Jesus that we're called to follow. Because, think about this, the sacrament that Jesus gives us to welcome people into his church is not receiving a medal. We're not given a trophy. We don't stand on a platform. We're not crowned king. No one taps us on the shoulder with a sword. We're not given a uniform like a soldier. You can think of all the different initiation rites that you've seen in your life to different organizations or clubs or to where you work. Any of those things could have been possible, but Jesus doesn't choose those. He chooses being washed with water. And even more than that, in baptism, we die. In a mystical way and in a very real way, we die with Jesus. Have you ever had that moment when you are underwater and you can't breathe and you realize that you can't breathe and you start to freak out a little bit because maybe you don't know which way is up? Have you had this? How many of you are just like fish in water? You absolutely love it. You could do it every day of your life. A few of you. That is not me. In fact, my wife makes fun of me all the time because I don't even like the shower, honestly. Like, I don't like putting my face in the water of the shower. I don't like to rinse my face off. I have to do it in a different way. And she makes fun of me pretty much every day for that reason. But that moment is embedded deeply within each of us. We know that under the water, we cannot survive. We know that. And there's something in just the system of our body that begins to respond and begins to respond aggressively and says, get me out of here. That's the symbol, that is the sacrament that Jesus chooses to bring us into union with Christ and into membership in his family and the church. In Romans 6, Paul writes that we were therefore buried with him, with Jesus, through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And in Colossians, Paul states that we were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working God who raised him from the dead. Baptism unites us with the crucified King. Baptism unites us forever with the crucified King. And this is why, in just a moment, we'll celebrate this sacrament again as a church family. And we'll all stand. Because we all have a role to play in this. As the community of faith here and as friends and family of Fiona, we all have a role to play in this baptism, but we also remember our baptism because we remember the vows and the commitment that we made when we engaged in that moment, when we were united with Jesus. We follow a crucified King, a King who was not caught up in the emotions of the triumphal entry. And think about that. Jesus, yes, was divine, but he was also human. And how easy would it have been for Jesus to get completely carried away with the power and the glory and the pomp and circumstance of the triumphal entry? How easy would it have been for Jesus, after being confronted after years and years by the Pharisees, after wandering around with his disciples who just didn't get it over and over and over again, he's walking down the street and people are laying palm branches down. How easy would it have been for Jesus to say, now this is what I'm talking about. This is the kingdom. We finally have a movement happening here. This is something worth holding on to. This is something worth building off of. But Jesus doesn't do it. He doesn't get trapped and doesn't get carried away by the moment. Jesus is a King who had every opportunity to be hailed as a hero, but chose instead to challenge the status quo and flip the world upside down with a message of God's upside down kingdom. When Jesus enters into Jerusalem, in the triumphal entry in Matthew's account, he goes straight to the temple and turns everything upside down. Flips the tables, says, get out of here. This is supposed to be a house of prayer. Jesus, instead of capitalizing on this moment of popularity, goes right to the core and begins his journey to the cross. Jesus is a King who, when he was questioned and beaten and mocked and ridiculed, didn't justify himself and didn't defend himself. Jesus was a King who willingly laid down his life to be united with the people he loves, to break once and for all the curse of death. Jesus was a king who was willing to hang between rebels and knowingly look like a complete fool, a fraud, and a failure. I don't know if you're like me, but when you have moments in life where you look at the course of your life and where you've been and where you're looking ahead and you might think, what have I done? All I see ahead of me is failure. All I see ahead of me is a road that I never could have anticipated. Jesus is with you in that moment. That is the king that we follow as he hangs on the cross and sees that all of his followers are gone. He's with us in that moment. Jesus is a king who was willing to die and to go to his very last breath because of his deep love for you and for me. That's who we follow. That's the real Jesus, and that's who we join in baptism. So today, as much as I'm tempted and we're all tempted to look at the triumphal entry and to stay in that moment and to stand beside Jesus and applaud and say, that's my guy. That's the guy I want to be connected with. That's my hero. We can't, because we're called to join Jesus, not on the road to Jerusalem, but on the cross. And in 7 days on Easter morning, we will celebrate and we will party and we will feast like we should. And we'll breathe resurrection air. We'll rejoice in our triumphant God. But today, we're not going there yet. Today, Jesus beckons us instead to turn and look at the cross and watch Jesus draw his last breath and look above his head and see the sign that said, this is the King. This is the King. Not the triumphant, jubilant, everyone's going crazy moment. No, this is the King. This is the King we follow. This is the King we love. And now, through the grace of God expressed in the sacrament of baptism, this is the King that we join as we're united with our crucified King.